Reformed Church.
Okay, so the Lord kind of showed me something cool that I just wanted to share. I was reading last night, and actually, I've never actually seen this before. In Hebrews 6, let me just read you a few things. This is going to be really helpful if you've heard the Chase Me series, because this is entirely based on that. It won't make really entire sense unless you've heard that series, because the Chase Me series is heavily relying upon Hebrews 6 and John 10 and kind of comparing those. But Hebrews 6, 18, we're going to read in a second about Jesus, our forerunner, and I'll explain what that means when we get to it. But Hebrews 6, 18, it said, this is picking up in the middle of a thought, but it says that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. So to not explain the context too much of what he was talking about before, he says that we have strong encouragement from God to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. You know, the word hope means an expectation. So he's talking about there is something in our future, something that is ahead of us that we can lay hold on, that God is encouraging us to lay hold on, which is talking about he's encouraging us to receive these things now, okay, is what he's talking about. Now, in verse 19, he explains what this hope is that we can lay hold on. He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made it a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So go back to verse 19. He says, this hope that he's referring to, he says, has entered in within the veil. There's so much to say about this, but the veil represents Jesus' death. You can read Hebrews 10 for that. The veil, he's sort of making a reference symbolically to the tabernacle, where there was the veil and there was the most holy place behind the veil. Again, Chase Me series goes over all this in detail, but the veil, because it represents Jesus' flesh and his sacrifice, because that's why the veil was torn when Jesus died, because his body was torn for us, the high priest once a year would go through the veil into the most holy place. And without giving too much detail, what that's talking about is the most holy place represents heaven, or the holiest represents heaven, and the high priest represents Jesus. So when the high priest went into the most holy place, that is actually a picture of how he would have to go through the veil into the most holy place, the same way that Jesus, through his death, Jesus died first, right? And that would be like the high priest entering through the veil, Jesus dying, and then ascending into being glorified and ascending into heaven, which is sort of like the high priest entering into the most holy place. So when he says that we can lay hold on this hope where the forerunner is for us entered, he's referring to Jesus having been glorified in his flesh, being made heavenly, and then having entered into the heavens. He's talking about everything that Jesus received in his glorification. When Jesus was glorified, this is sort of the context here. The high priest going through the veil into the most holy place is a representation of everything that Jesus received in his resurrection. Everything that Jesus received after his death, after the veil, what came? His resurrection, his glorification, when he received all the good things of heaven, glorified in his body, and then entered into that country positionally by ascending. The high priest entering the most holy place represents that. The really important thing about this is that Hebrews 10 actually says that we can also enter through the veil into the most holy place. And again, without giving too much detail, combining that with what we just read in verse 18, where he said that we can lay hold on this hope that is set before us. What's that hope that he's saying we can lay hold on? Well, he just described that hope. He's actually referring to Jesus and him having been glorified and resurrected and received perfection, right? He said that we can lay hold on that. What he's referring to is we can lay hold on everything that Jesus received in his resurrection. Jesus, our high priest, has already died, gone through the veil, and entered into glory, into this perfection, and he's saying, you can see where Jesus went. You can see what Jesus received. You can see how Jesus has really just gone ahead of you and received all these things, and you can lay hold on the same things that Jesus entered into. Super important. Most believers don't relate to the glorified Jesus. They don't see that everything Jesus received in his resurrection and all the heavenly things that he received, that those things are things that God is encouraging us, that we have strong consolation to lay hold on those things. But when Jesus entered these things in his resurrection, he's not like, this is not unique to Jesus. The Bible is saying here that he's only a forerunner. You know what that means? Someone that just goes before you. So Jesus, having been glorified in his body, perfect health, perfect wisdom, which he didn't have before, mind you, even in his earthly ministry, he didn't have perfect wisdom and all of that. And having received this perfect life, literally, perfect life in every single way, fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, everything that you see in Jesus and where our high priest has entered, all those things that our high priest has entered, he's saying we can lay hold on these things as well. That's the crux of the Chase Me series. Now, the important thing is, this is why when we talk about the glorified Jesus, we talk about how we can relate to all that, because what has happened is, when everything Jesus entered, after he ascended and received all these things first, Jesus had to receive these things first. There's reasons for that, but he had to receive all these things first. That's why he couldn't send his spirit to us before he ascended to the Father and was seated in full authority with the Father, because he had to receive it first as our forerunner. Then he turns around and says, okay, by my spirit, inherent in my spirit, is all the things that I just received, even bodily. All that perfection that I just received and am working in is inherent in my spirit. I'm going to send that now back to you. Now we receive the promise of the Spirit inside of us. And now, by the Spirit inside of us, the Spirit is manifesting everything in our bodies, in our life, that perfect life, that heaven on earth. He's manifesting that in us the same way that he already manifested it in Christ. That's why Christ is called our forerunner. He's just the one that received these things first, but not that any of these things are unique to him. So when he says this hope that has gone before us, our forerunner, he's saying with that, that we can manifest and walk in every single thing that our glorified Jesus is already walking in. This is why we even say, when it comes to persecution, right? The Bible talks about how there's persecution for believers. But this is why you have to weigh everything of your inheritance on the glorified Jesus. Whatever Jesus has is what we have. And so when you look at Jesus, you see, again, perfect health, perfect wisdom, perfect youth. You see perfect strength. You see all of these things in perfection. He is never hurt. He is never harmed in any such way. He is fully protected from all of the devices of people now, unlike the way he was before. He has perfect protection, perfect redemption from this world. He has purchased that for himself. He has all these things. These things are now an example for us to look at. And everything you see in Jesus is everything that now you know you have on the inside of you. That same glory lives on the inside of you. He's only the firstborn among many brethren, right? And there's nothing unique to Jesus in the glory he's sitting in right now. So you see that perfection, you know you have it on the inside of you. But also you know when you look at him, you can see where your flesh is going, okay? When you look at Jesus, you can see where your spirit is and where your flesh is going. You can see where your spirit is currently and where your flesh is going, because our flesh is being transformed into the same image that we have on the inside of us right now. When you look at Jesus, that's the example of everything God is doing and performing in you right now. That's why he's called our forerunner, because, again, nothing unique to him. The really important thing, though, is that when he's talking about all of this, Jesus, our hope, basically Jesus, by saying Jesus, our hope, he's saying Jesus and everything you see in him is what you have to expect from the Father. That's what God wants to manifest in you, that perfect life, that perfect glory that he has received. God wants to manifest perfection in your body, manifest perfection in your mind, manifest perfection in your dealings, in prospering you, okay? Now, here's what's important. In all of this, okay, and I could go on much longer on this, but in all of this, in verse 19, which hope? So he's talking about Jesus. When he says hope, he's talking about the glorified Jesus. Everything you see in him, that you can expect that for your flesh as well. This hope, though, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You know what that's talking about? This actually gives a little bit of clue here as to what the word anchor might mean in the Bible, the biblical usage of that word. This is not a definition, but this is sort of a generalization that I'm going to make about the word anchor. He describes an anchor as being something that is sure and steadfast, which sort of, you know, plays into the way that you would think of a ship anchor anyway, right? It's so that it's for stability, right? So anchor, you can see here, might have something to do with stability, because he says sure, which means firm, and steadfast. And if it's anchoring your soul, what does it mean for the glorified Jesus and everything that he has already received? That's what it, when it says hope here, that's what it's referring to, Jesus and everything that he's already received. What does it mean for that to become an anchor for your soul? Well, let me explain it this way. So in a company, lots of companies, successful companies, have mission statements. They do that so that they they stay on track. They understand where they're going. What's the goal here, right? Because if you don't have a goal, you might, you know, be spreading yourself too thin amongst a lot of things and not really focusing on what you're supposed to be doing. So you have a mission statement. You know, churches even have visions. At this church, right, our vision is basically just the gospel. That's whatever, it's preaching the gospel, right? And whatever the gospel says is what we want to communicate. But people have things like that. People, you know, if you're hiking or something, right, you might have a compass to keep you on track so that you don't walk around in circles, right? You have something that shows you, okay, true north, that's where it is. That's my goal, right? Even, you know, sailors, you know, back in the day would like use the stars or something like that to keep track of where they were so they don't go to and fro. They keep on track. They have a goal and a destination, and they don't get moved away or they don't drift away from that destination. An anchor for our soul, your soul is like saying your mind, all right? An anchor for your soul, evident from how he defined it here. I'm not just saying the word anchor sort of flippantly and defining it this way, but he defined it as something that is sure and steadfast. So what this is talking about is an anchor for your soul is something that is able to keep your soul from drifting away. It's something for you to keep your soul focused where it should be. Let me explain it. So knowing that everything that Jesus has received is what God's performing in you, no matter what goes on in life, no matter what someone tells you, Jesus in his glory and what he has received is something that is able to anchor your soul and to focus your mind so that you don't drift away forgetting kind of what the goal is here. Knowing that whatever you see in Jesus is what God is working in you allows you to understand what the Holy Spirit's purpose and goal is in your flesh. The Holy Spirit is turning your flesh into whatever you see of the glorified Jesus. He's turning your life into whatever you see in the glorified Jesus. And this is why it describes him as an anchor for our soul. Rather than being tossed sort of to and fro, the way the Bible says that our soul, when we're not mature in a truth, our soul can sort of be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. James 1 also talks about how a double-minded man, his heart, his mind is like tossed like the wind, by the waves, like the waves of the sea. And when you don't know what God's doing in your life and where God's bringing you, you can get discouraged very easily. You can get sidetracked very easily and forget what the goal is, forget what the destination is. You can start making assumptions as to where your life is going to end up. You can start making assumptions on, you know, where you see yourself in X amount of years. You can start making wrong assumptions. You can start having wrong expectations for yourself. You can get lost in what your life is going to look like in the future. Your expectation can veer from where it should be. But knowing the track that Jesus has already run, knowing what he's already received in his glory, anchors your soul and anchors your hope, anchors your expectation, so you don't start expecting silly things for your life. And when I say silly, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that are contrary to the truth, things that are not according to Christ. Seeing Jesus and where he's gone and knowing that that's where the Holy Spirit's bringing you, that's sort of like your North Star. It keeps you from expecting wrong things for your life. There is even teaching we have online about hope, which I'd encourage you to listen to in addition to this, but hope is expecting that everything you see in Jesus, that those things are going to manifest in you as well. But again, a lot of times, based on what we see in our circumstances or based on what people are telling us, we can have wrong expectations for our life, though. We can stop expecting what you see in the glorified Jesus and start expecting our future to look a lot more, for lack of a better term, dim than what you're seeing in the glorified Jesus. The second that you start, that your expectation starts veering like that, you know your focus is not on sort of your North Star there. It's not on the glorified Jesus and understanding that that is what God is working you toward in your flesh. That's what God is turning you into. That's what God is manifesting in you. That's why it says it's an anchor for your soul. It keeps your expectation on track. Your soul can go to a lot of different places. And you know, it's actually very easy and very quick. If you choose to, any one of us, right? I don't care how spiritual you think you are. Any one of us, if you start heeding circumstance, start heeding what people are telling you, start heeding even your own conscience, start heeding whatever it is, except whatever it is, if it's not the glorified Jesus and everything that he's received through his death, your expectation can veer very easily if you don't have that sort of mission statement from the Holy Spirit, that sort of goal, that North Star, that destination that you're looking at and knowing that that's your trajectory. You're gonna start expecting wrong things for your life when you start heeding all this other stuff. And I wanted to share that with you, that Jesus and everything that he's already received and is currently experiencing, all the joy and the pleasure that he's receiving in his mind, in his body, the protection, the redemptions, the healing, the wisdom, all the things that he's experiencing right now, even power to wealth. You may not see that, but that's something that is working in Jesus. That power is working in Jesus. All of those things that you see in Jesus, God intends on that being your true north, intends on that being that thing that anchors your soul and says, you know what? There's a lot of things that people are telling me maybe to expect from my life, and there's a lot of things that I could veer off and start looking at and start expecting, but as far as my hope is concerned, the glorified Jesus is something that is supposed to anchor my soul and make it steadfast so that I don't get off track in where I expect my trajectory is, so I don't get off track in my expectation. That anchor for your soul is, despite what you see, despite what people tell you, that's something that's going to keep your mind focused, steadfast, and steady when you understand the trajectory that the Lord's bringing you in. A lot of people, a lot of Christians don't know where they're headed. They just feel like they're floundering around. A lot of people, believers, don't really know where God's bringing them. God's will for their life is sort of, whatever God wants, you know? Like they don't know what God wants for them. A lot of believers think that that's normal, to just think, well, you know, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know. But the thing is, when you know that it's whatever I see in Jesus, that's what God's bringing me into. If you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, because you can go ahead and flounder around and get your eyes on everybody else, and you know, and if you took your eyes completely off of Jesus, then this is not applicable to you. But if you're someone, which we are here, someone that's looking at Jesus, and if you will just keep your eyes on Jesus, your flesh is going to turn into that. Your mind is going to turn into that, whatever you see in Christ. And that's what keeps your mind steadfast, sure. It anchors your soul from expecting all the stupid stuff out here. It anchors your soul, and you know, nope, that's my future right there. That's what I'm turning into in the flesh. Really an awesome thing. Again, I've never really understood the anchor for the soul aspect of that, but it's a very, very cool thing for our expectation to be anchored in what we see in Jesus. There's so many things you can expect for your life, but you'd be wrong if any of those things don't line up with what you see Jesus has already received, right? So just very, very cool stuff.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.